We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. You can check out their website at ZillowKnoxville.com. That's where you can see all the listings and get in contact with them via email, cell phone. You can also look for them on Facebook. It's Travis and Emily McKinney. Did a great job sponsoring our live March Madness broadcast. And we're even out and hanging out with us at Elkmont Exchange as we watched the NCAA tournament. And we really appreciate the McKinney team with Keller Williams and their longtime sponsorship of us here at Fan Run Radio. If you're in the market to buy or sell right now this springtime, as the housing market is crazy. I don't know if you've done any looking at listings recently, but if you have, it is going nuts. House goes on the market and it's pending in almost no time. So get realtors that will get out in front of that for you and keep you in the loop with all the houses that are about to go on the market as people are buying and selling like crazy right now here in Knoxville. ZillowKnoxville.com for all the details. You can get in touch with Travis and Emily McKinney right there through the website. It's Travis and Emily McKinney. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. You asked about rewatching the the orange and white game, Houston. I've been rewatching some clips here and there during the breaks.
No. How's it going?
Well, I know.
How do the boys look?
I know Jarrett Garantano got better later in the ball game, but I mean, some of the mistakes that he made last year, when you see him repeat them in the spring game, It's just maddening. I mean, I was watching. Remember the Nigel Warrior sack where he came off the? He was on a slot receiver. He kind of cheated down and he came off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
He beat, I believe it was Ty Chandler. And got the fake sack on the non-contact, Jarrett Garantano.
It's a real sack. It was no contact.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, he didn't actually have to tackle him, but he two-hand touched him, whatever. Okay. All right. So, it's just so frustrating because there's 10 seconds on the play clock. A linebacker jumps up into the C-gap, I think. I mean, up over the guard. A guard who's not... No one's over this guard. He's just standing there. Like, the center is going to take the defensive tackle. The tackle is going to take the defensive end on that side. The running back is going to try and pick up Nigel Warrior, which was the right, at least attempted block.
Mm-hmm.
And our right guard.
Well said.
Just.
Attempted block.
Has no one over him at all. So there's 10 seconds on the play clock. The linebacker on that side starts to, like, try and cheat up like he's going to blitz. Nigel Warrior starts coming off the slot receiver like he's going to blitz. Garantano sees both these guys. I mean, you can see him look at them. But instead of, like, kind of Peyton Manning in it there and pausing for a second to, A, mess with their timing a little bit, to make them have to either back up or get lined up and stand exactly where they're going to be so you know where to block them.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes ahead and claps his hands just right on time. Just let these guys blitz right in their moment. And then not only that, even though he knows they're coming, he doesn't do it. He still carries out his ball fake to the running back. Like you need to cut that short a little bit. You need to, like, adjust something here when you have a six-man rush coming at you now.
Yeah, at that point, like, you just say, damn the play action. Like,
just kind of lean and then back out. That would allow Ty Chandler more time to get across
right. And
make his block. And then, of course, the right guard on the play, can't block the linebacker. And I think it was like Shannon Reed coming up through there. It wasn't even like Batuli or, a bigger guy. He just, like, that's the only guy he had to hit, and he couldn't make the block. So even when we were in position as an offensive line to make that block, it just didn't happen. And then, the running back, Nigel Warrior, blew up the running back, which is great. That Nigel Warrior was physical on that play, because like we've said all week, it's hard when it's the spring game and it's your own, it's your own guys. Like, somebody made a good play for somebody to make a bad play, basically. But, Calvert at...
Am I crazy? Wasn't that one of the things that Garantano said when Chaney first got here, was I have more freedom in protections
exactly.
And changing things and making sure that we're in the right play. Am I wrong?
No, he said that.
is this a situation where maybe like personnel dictated, hey, these guys might not know that check, I'm not going to make it? Is this a we don't want to show our checks? Is it a hand signal thing? Hey, we don't want to give away the hand signal for this just yet. Or is this just a?
I mean, there's no crowd noise. Seems like you just.
No, I know,
call
I know.
Out,
well,
right?
That's what I was wondering. Like, unless it, which I wouldn't think it would be. I mean, if you're talking to your offensive line, you just go da 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 da. You just tell them.
Yeah.
Or you, like you said, with no crowd noise, you just make a verbal check.
Even though, but even then, like everybody picked up their guy, like everybody knew who to block. Okay. Two guys couldn't block their guy. But at least they knew who to block. Last year, they didn't even know who to block. A guy would just come completely free.
Well, then, so, what, are we just mad at the play fake then?
Well, and then he didn't throw the ball. I mean, yeah, well, he could have play faked back foot and just got rid of it.
Yeah.
He tried to run out of it. And once Nigel Warrior beat the running back as solidly as he did, he wasn't getting away. Like, I mean, he was going to get sacked.
It's all part of the climb.
So, like.
Yeah. Davey's right. It's the climb. It's a learning process.
I mean, it just has to drive you just absolutely nuts. I mean, that's
I'm okay.
That's another reason that Jeremy Pruitt, I hope, was blitzing a ton in the spring games. Like, we got our offense got to be able to pick up blitzes.
They got
to
be a little
out.
Better at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. It's early, man. They're still doing install over there, right? Right, guys? Still doing install?
I don't
install?
Know. The offensive stuff looked pretty vanilla. But like I said, they didn't know who to block, at least. They just didn't block. Calvert didn't block his guy. Chandler didn't block his guy. Just frustrating. No, I'm sorry. I've been saying Chandler. It was actually Jordan. I don't know why I can't keep their number straight, but it was 9. It was Jordan that missed the block.
Very different running backs, too. I feel like you should be up on that. I mean, this is not an unfixable problem, though, is it?
No, but like the fact that it hasn't been fixed for this long, like that's what's so frustrating about it. It shouldn't be that hard. It feels like Garantano
doesn't just dirt the ball more.
I feel like he doesn't realize that he's, you know, playing chess against the defense. Like it feels like he's still just trying to make sure he runs the right play. Like the next level is to just know the plays so like the back of your hand. So you're messing with the defense,
well,
right?
Okay, well, counterpoint. I mean, he's learning this offense brand new.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this was his fourth year in the same offense, I would completely agree with you. I just wonder if maybe we're kind of in the baby food stages of this offense and the changes and spinoffs and shifts and everything like that will come later. I do have a problem with him continuing to sell the play fake when you're dealing with more than you can block.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not smart. That's a, dude, just again, don't worry about it. I mean, is that not just, like, a signal he could make to Tim Jordan in that scenario? Like, is there not just, like, a kill the play action thing? Like, hey, you're going to have to just pick up the blitzing linebacker immediately. Like, don't worry about the play fake. And then based on which direction everything was supposed to go, they know not to run into each other. Like, that's what happened with Dobbs and Phils Amee in 2016 at South Carolina. It's like, I don't know if there was supposed to be a play fake, but there wasn't one, but it was like Phils Amee stayed in for a play fake, and then as he moved forward to pick up the blitz, ran into Dobbs, caused the fumble, Tennessee loses.
It seems like Jordan, on this particular play, could have just gone ahead and gone to pick up his guy, and if Garantano fakes the handoff, it would have been fine because it would just be him kind of leaning down to fake it. There just wouldn't really be a back necessarily right there acting like he's getting it. The back would just already be further up the field, making his block further away from Garantano so that he has more room after he then pulls the ball back to step into a throw and get rid of it.
It's a spring game.
I also, one of the other big things I've noticed
is I'm trying not to panic, Nate.
No, there's no need to panic. Your counterpoint's a really good one. Like, Garantano's head.
Thank you.
You know, it's not like he's been running the same offense for the last three
years.
And
I'm not trying to just sit here and make excuses for the guy. I'm just saying, like, that is – I mean, really, it's unfair to him, right? I mean, I don't know when most quarterbacks would say, like, the light bulb goes on in a specific offense. But typically – you know, when you're learning a new offense. I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, 2000, I'm trying to think of quarterbacks who started as freshmen. 2004, you started two true freshmen, and they each had, like, a very small list of plays that they knew. And then as that kind of developed, you saw, you know, one kind of outshine the other. But he didn't play much as a freshman. Dobbs played as a freshman. Like, do we remember him going in there and how many missed? I mean, he could run around, so it's a little bit different, right? Yeah. But Garantano, obviously not a runner. Typically, I would think in years two and three of the same offense, man, like, you really start to get it. You start to understand. Like, he hasn't had the same thing 2 years in a row.
Well, there's a
let alone four.
There's a play in the second quarter where here's another big takeaway from the game. We've talked about them blitzing a lot on defense. They also stunted a ton on defense.
Good, because we could not figure that out last year at all.
Well, Wanya Morris gets completely fooled on a play in the first quarter off of a stunt, but it's the kind of mistake you want him to make, because what happened is he's lined up at left tackle. He's got no help on this particular play. He has a defensive end in front of him, so he's thinking, okay, block this guy in the pass pro. Ball is snapped. That guy takes one step up the field and then, like, kind of subcuts him towards the guard.
Yeah.
Wanya, as he does that, engages with him and just buries him to the inside. It was an aggressive mistake, because what happened is tackle came looping around and then ends up coming free. Now, Garantano, because of pressure from the other side, because our right tackle Tatum didn't do a very good job blocking Darrell Taylor on that play, Garantano felt pressure from the right and actually threw the ball before that tackle would have been able to sack him. Mm-hmm. He did kind of pull up in a real game. The defensive tackle might have hit Garantano, maybe not. Might have been a penalty if he drove through him or whatever. But that's the type of mistake I expect to see Wanya Morris make in a spring game. He aggressively
and you can live with it.
Yeah, I mean, he blocked his guy. Like, his guy, the guy he picked up had no, like, he buried him. No chance for that guy to get to the quarterback.
Last year there were times when
they blocked anybody.
Yeah, and two guys that stunted were untouched, and we're, like, running into each other and falling down.
No, Wanya drove this guy almost to where the ball had been originally snapped.
Well, that's it, man. Like, make a mistake, but at least take a guy out of the play.
Yeah, at least you were even on that play, right? Now, it meant the guard for Tennessee, or for the white team, couldn't get to the guy that stunted around. But, again, Garantano got rid of the ball fast enough to get rid of it.
I mean, you want to get rid of the guy with the shortest distance, and the guy going inside has the, you know, like, the guy running the loop has
you
longer
have to, make
to run.
Sure, he gets blocked.
So if you have to pick one, you pick the guy going inside to make sure he doesn't get there quick.
The next level, and you see some really good offensive lines, the tackle will chuck that guy, then the guard picks him up, and then the tackle stays kind of in his area and picks
they
up
the trade him
the,
off.
The
or,
loop guy.
You know, if the tackle picks up early, sometimes that guard will sneak back around, and then
you kind of shove him past
you kind of, like, match the twist or the stunt in a way, and you kind of mirror it, and then you've got the guard who was originally lined up over him blocking that tackle.
If I'm the coaching staff, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at Wanya because he's going to see it this season.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's what I've noticed him doing.
I swear that's why we blitz so much. It has to be. I mean, because typically you don't want to show any blitz. And it's not like they were running, you know, crazy, you know, dramatic, exotic blitzes. It was just like, okay, we're going to put two guys here. Now, what do you do? And all that considered, I know they gave up, you know, what did Garantano get sacked four times?
Yeah, wasn't good.
It's not great.
There's a play here in the second quarter, though.
Never got hit, though.
There's a play in the second quarter.
Positivity.
Where
Optimism Tuesday.
They've got a running back and a tight end to one side. So I think they slid the protection away from those guys to protect the other side. Mm-hmm. The defense, the orange team blitzes. They also stunted. Dominic Wood Anderson does an awful job picking up the blitzer. He gets in there almost immediately.
I thought we brought him in to block.
The right side, the right tackle gets beat again. But Garantano, like, kind of feels all that. It's third and eight, too. So that's why you're stunning and blitzing. It's third and long. Like, you don't have to worry about the draw play or the screen necessarily, as long as you pick up the back kind of thing. So Garantano gets rid of the football to Callaway. He catches it and has enough room to get the first down. So it was third and eight. The defense brought five. You didn't even block it very well, but Garantano was aware enough to get rid of the football quick to Callaway, who ran kind of like a six-yard hitch on third and eight, but he caught it with enough space to get upfield for a couple more yards and get the first down. So there is some improvement. I don't want to put everything on just kind of one play that wasn't there. but it's still kind of a work in progress.
Well, I mean, the issues last year were what, man? Like, stunts and twists, and I think...
Well, you just get beat sometimes, too. You just weren't
well,
as good.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. Like, you can't really scheme around that, and I mean, unless it's obviously one guy getting just worked over and over, and you decide to double-team to help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But too many times last year, it was confusion on the offensive line.
Yes.
That was my issue. It's one thing if a guy knows what he's doing and just cannot stop an Alabama defensive end.
The talent's not there.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to blame Will Friend if one of our – I mean, as long as he has good footwork and isn't just, like, you know, teetering out there. If a guy just gets beat because he's slow or because the other guy's just that much stronger, like, I'm not going to just bash Will Friend. My problem last year was the confusion. And it wasn't dramatic stuff that the other teams were doing either. It's stuff that Pruitt ran on Saturday. It's okay, and we're going to walk a linebacker up and shift your gap right before the snap, and then we just don't touch somebody. They run right up the middle. And I'm not trying to harp on him, but it's Ryan Johnson going right when the play is designed to go left on the first play of the season, and you get Jarrett Guarantano cracked in half to start the West Virginia game. It's Auburn running a simple twist, and both guys come free, and we literally run into each other and block ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's little things that would seem to be either communication issue or just easy film study. Hey, when these two guys do this and change spots after the snap, don't panic. Just pick up the guy that comes to you. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. And then you'd have that mistake on one side, and then somebody, like you mentioned, just getting beat on the other. Like, that's my problem. And the again, getting beat is getting beat. That's going to happen. It's football. But when you compound that on one side with us making mistakes and being confused on the other, I mean, that's why you have pockets that aren't pockets.
Yep.
You just get clusters of people standing around the quarterback, and no one can throw in that. Those are the types of things that if those aren't fixed this year, or at least – greatly, greatly minimized, I'm going to have some serious questions about Will Friend. Because this offensive line, you're getting one of two things with every player. You're getting a much more talented player, or you're getting a player with 2 years now under the same offensive line coach. So Wanye, if he makes mistakes, his talent, and you see it, right? He makes a mistake, but what does he do? Well, I'm going to bury one guy. I can live with that. But if the guys who come back are still making the silly mistakes, and then it's kind of like the first play of the game. Who did we say that was? Ollie Lane? Like, he makes a bad step, and then just, like, it really didn't hustle to, like, try to block the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, like, touches him and then turns around and looks at the quarterback like, sorry, dude, here it comes. That's gonna frustrate me. Because a lot of times last year, they would get beat or they would make a mistake, and then they just kind of stand there. Like, if you make a mistake, that's okay, but you better hustle your ass off to try to just do something to push a guy out of the way. Trey Smith was not 100% last year. He made a lot of mistakes, but one thing he never did was just kind of quit on a play. He would make a mistake, he would get beat, but then he's running as fast as he can to push the defensive end outside the quarterback circle to at least give the quarterback an opportunity to step up and not get, you know, just cleaned. Those are the little things that it's either effort or bad teaching. Like, you can't necessarily coach effort, but you can play a guy who doesn't give it. And if they don't know what they're doing out there, that's on you.
Yeah.
Then don't put them out there.
Right.
Like, it's still on the coaching.
I agree with that 100%. Like, if everybody's in the right spot and the Alabama first round defensive tackle just
and linebacker,
you know, beat your guy,
and
you know,
corner,
you can you can live with that and point to recruiting as like, well, we're recruiting better, so next year that won't be as big of an issue.
Yeah.
You know, Fulmer pointed out we're getting bigger and stronger in his thing, which, I mean, that's good. It's fine that he said that. It's again maddeningly frustrating to me that you have to even do that in a college football, like. It would seem like in the SEC, no matter which players you get in, any coaching staff would be getting everybody bigger and stronger all the time. And the fact that Butch Jones was so and that staff was so awful at it is just laughable. But, like, it is bad coaching if your guys don't know what to do. That either means you're asking them to do too much, which is bad coaching, or you haven't been able, you haven't communicated well enough to get them to know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that we saw way too much of that last year. There's a second quarter play. It's 3rd and 9. The Orange defense, this, the number one defense, is gonna like kind of green dog one linebacker and then stunt with two of their guys to Wandae Morse's side again. This time, he chucks the guy, he passes him off to the left guard, he picks up his dude, and I swear Jared Garantano is gonna have a really nice pocket, except you have Austin Pope trying to block a defensive end one-on-one, or an outside linebacker, I guess, technically, but trying to block him one-on-one. We have a running back run by and not help at all there.
No chip.
And also Austin Pope's in a non-contact jersey. So I'm not sure if this is maybe so much of an issue in real life or just in the spring game. Like, Pope almost, once he kind of gives up the block, lets that guy go. Like, I don't know if that guy's supposed to hit Pope. Is like the non-contact jerseys on regular players that are blocking is kind
of
strange.
I am glad we got rid of the red ones, though. It was always weird to me.
Oh, yeah,
red's
awful.
Black looks good. Makes more sense.
Yeah, black or dark gray, I think, works.
Like, Texas did that for years. The quarterbacks always wore black, and I was like, why are we wearing red? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
No one wants to wear a red jersey here, ever.
But anyway,
or
that,
blue.
It's weird that you have Austin Pope trying to block a guy one-on-one when he's
non-contact.
Because he basically kind of hits him a little bit and just lets him go. And Garantano, of course, has no chance because that defense. That,
is that, were you in a too tight set? Why is Austin Pope in? Is Dom in too?
He is.
Is he split out? Not in?
I don't see him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know, but I will say,
well,
you know,
Wandae,
that, same
not,
stunt,
non-contact, and that's not your starting tight end, so maybe it's not the worst of
not
the
that
worst.
Big of a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody does their job, or everybody knows what their job is. He just can't get it done. But I mean, it's kind of not really fair to him if
limited,
they said, yeah,
right.
Like you're, and I don't know what's his injury. I don't know. But if it's like a shoulder, and you're not supposed to be hitting guys with your right shoulder,
yeah,
and the guy's rushing like trying to get to the quarterback, that's not great.
It's weird.
But the left side of the line passes this stunt off, and it's you know, DeAndre
Johnson.
Johnson. It's Johnson coming inside and the tackle trying to loop around again. And you can see Wandae shove Johnson towards the guard, and the guard picks him up fine. Wandae keeps moving his feet and gets out on the tackle. And you're going to have a great pocket for Garantano to climb
if
Pope is allowed to block that guy. Or can block him a little better.
See, they learned.
So
they got better.
Well, I mean,
We said that.
I tweeted out during the game. I'm like, are we worried yet? And then a little later, I'm like, okay, I'm not
as worried.
I'm not freaking out.
You feel a little worse overall after watching the game, but at least it wasn't catastrophe,
I mean,
when it started. Yeah. I'm with you. That's how I felt. I think that's how everybody felt watching the game. I mean, Twitter was kind of a mess the first half of the first quarter. Nobody was moving the ball.
Can't get a first down.
Yeah, like it was bad. It was really bad. And then I think, I don't want to say it was nerves. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. But I think everybody kind of calmed down. You know, Davey mentioned this earlier. I think it's a really good point. Like, Chaney couldn't go and talk to guys on the sideline because he's immediately calling plays for the next offense. So I think it was probably something a little bit new. They probably couldn't make adjustments as fast as they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But then they kind of settled down. Both offenses did. And especially the first team, and Jarrett started making some plays. He looked a little bit more confident. I'd like to see his best stretch of, say, like 10 throws. Like, because he started, what, 3 of 8, you said, Davey, for like 18 yards? Like, it was not good. He finished above 50%. I realize that you don't have far to go if you're 3 of 8 to get above 50. But I'd like to see, like, his misses and his hits. I'd like to see just all the passes that Garantano threw in a row to see, like, when and where he found his rhythm and what worked best.
Like this last play I was discussing, the ball gets deflected at the line. I mean, if that block gets made, he's probably going to be able to complete that pass.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really on him. I mean, you can't have a rush linebacker basically coming free and expect your quarterback to be successful. So there you go.
Cheers.
We'll come back. Stick with us along. Hour number 3 of the he's in a non-contact jersey. I'm just saying, it's kind
you're
of
in a non-contact.
The ridiculousness of the spring game. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.
Would you stop touching me?
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. People are going to start putting out their post-spring practice depth charts now.
Oh, boy.
Houston. What? Do you think that we're going to see... You think Pruitt's play the veteran guy early in the season? Like, Gavarius Crouch was with the twos, for example. Shannon Reed is starting with the ones. Do we think that, like... I mean, Crouch is a guy who's early enrollee, went through the whole practice.
Man, it's going to depend on who earns it in the summer. I don't think Pruitt's going to have a problem playing a freshman if he's ready to go. I just think it's a matter of how much can he learn and how ready can he be. Being here in the spring, for a lot of these guys, is going to be a big deal. I mean, we kind of penciled in Toa Toa as a starter the minute he committed. Imagine if he had been here in the spring. Wouldn't you feel even better about that?
Yeah, I mean, now, that's true. Is it Batuli and him might be your starting inside linebackers? Yeah.
And Crouch, it was weird, too, because he played running back and mostly defensive end in high school, but he just projected as a linebacker, so he was listed as an athlete, linebacker slash running back. So he's kind of learning it, especially, I would think, in a 3-4 for the first time. So spring for a guy like Crouch, huge. I mean, monumental strides will be taken because he was able to get these extra 15 practices in. Not to mention he stayed healthy during the spring, and you saw at least a flash of the ability, of the speed, of the just nastiness when he goes through, meets Jeremy Banks, and just like him or love him, however you feel about Jeremy Banks, like, he's not an easy guy to tackle. Crouch made it look easy. Like, that doesn't happen. He hurdled a guy later in the game. Like, just meeting him one-on-one and not getting run over or not getting pushed backwards is a really big deal. Crouch, you saw it. You saw at least a taste. Like, hey, if he knows what he's doing and he's in the right spot, not many people are going to get away from him. Question is, and this is a question that I don't know how to answer, but how much does Jeremy Pruitt need him to know to feel comfortable to put him out there a lot? Or what can he learn to have, you know, kind of package placement? Hey, on 3rd and 8 or longer, you're going to go in and you're going to do this, this, or this. I think you're probably going to see stuff like that. I'd say 1st and 2nd down, especially early in the season, you're probably going to stick to veterans, guys who have been in the system, guys like Reed, guys like Batuli. And then on certain situations, that's probably when you're going to see guys like Peterson, hopefully, if he exists, Crouch. Toa Toa, I think, is different. I think he's a guy who, I don't know if they're depending on him to come in and start right away, but he's a guy that you're probably going to want to just get him in the mix as fast as you can.
Yeah, there's Will Ignant, I guess, is still in the in the play at inside linebacker. And then outside, you've got Darrell Taylor, DeAndre Johnson, Kevon Bennett, and Jordan Allen. Looks like those are guys that are going to have to get after the passer from the outside positions. And then, you know, where does Crouch, like, I guess, where do you put him in the special situations first? Is it at outside linebacker to actually rush on 3rd down, or is it at inside to give some guys a break, or is it if you're playing a big running team, you play him at inside more? Those will be all the questions that the coaching staff will have to kind of work through this summer.
I like the idea of him hitting a quarterback.
Me
too.
That's
just me. Like, I like the idea of him being outside, using his speed and athleticism to go get a QB on 3rd down.
Do you actually feel better about linebacker? I mean, the Kirkland news wasn't great, but after watching the spring game,
you've got bodies, you've got talent. Now, again, it's just a matter of how quick can they learn it.
Yeah.
See, that?
I feel like they're going to be having to make a lot more stops this year than they were last year. I just feel like people got by the defensive line a lot last year, but I'm just not feeling good about that unit whatsoever.
I think feel better about the linebackers other than the defensive line.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
He's saying the defensive line is going to make life a little tougher on the linebackers because they're not going to be as good. I don't think this defensive line is going to be dynamic, but I think and I hope this can be a defensive line that at least isn't – like in a 3-4, it's just kind of weird, right? Like, you don't have to have guys in your front three just be like stupid takeover game type players. They just can't get walled off. They can't get stoned. They need to at least, you know, command a chip, hopefully a double team from time to time. You're getting in some much bigger guys. Can they just kind of be there? Right? Like, can they just kind of get in the way and free up the linebackers so that the offensive line can't peel off to the second level and just start wiping guys out? That's my question for the defensive line. I don't necessarily, with the exception of kind of the outside rush defensive lineman who technically is a linebacker but listed in some places as a DE. It's weird on the depth chart sometimes on the 3-4 teams. But I just need those middle three to be big and strong. Like, get your hands up, maybe bat a couple passes. You don't have to go in and make a bunch of just crazy plays. Grab a guy when he runs by you with the football and let guys like Crouch, like Taylor, like Peterson clean up the mess. Like Batuli. I'd like to see him on more blitzes too this year, by the way. And they blitzed him a few times on Saturday. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, under the old, if you're thinking about the 4-3 team, I mean, Darrell Taylor would be like your end. I mean,
right.
That's your most experienced defensive lineman. So it does kind of have a different feel as you start talking about the the depth chart. I think I worry at this point more about the defensive line and the safeties than the linebackers and the corners. Obviously, I feel really good about the corners.
I'm optimistic about safety, but I do think it's still a little bit of a, okay, like, how consistent can they be?
Yeah, well,
and ultimately, who wins, you know, what job? It seems like Nigel Warrior is going to be one of your starters for sure. We saw a lot of Theo Jackson. We saw a lot of Trayvon Flowers last year. We saw some good and we saw some bad. Is it possible that Jalen Tank McCullough wins one of those jobs? Like, is it possible that it's McCullough and Warrior back there? Where does Gibbs fit into all this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic about safety because I think you've got some. It was like I said earlier. You've got some guys who were here last year who should get better, and you've got a guy like Jalen McCullough who's probably more talented than anybody save Nigel Warrior, but probably a better football player who, man, if he can pick it up quick, he's going to be out there making plays just like he did on Saturday with two picks and 60 return yards. So I'm optimistic about safety. I'm with you. I feel really good about corner. I think you've got a lot of kind of Swiss Army knife guys that can go in and do a couple different things. We saw, you know, Flowers and Jackson occasionally would line up kind of in the nickel spot, right? They're guarding the slot. They can come into that scenario and blitz. You've got a lot of guys who you can, again, bounce around. I mean, there's options there. I don't know how consistent they can be as a defense. Because when you're rotating in that many guys, a lot of margin for error, mistakes, that sort of thing. I think they are still pretty young at most of those spots. I mean, both your corners are going to be true sophomores. It's possible that one of your safeties is going to be, you know, a true freshman or a sophomore. And then obviously Nigel Warrior is more experienced. But we'll see. I don't know. Someone needs to emerge as a playmaker. And I'm thinking it could be Darrell Taylor. I'm hoping it could be Darrell Taylor. And then maybe another linebacker or something. Because, I mean, obviously Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor, they're going to do what they do, right? They're going to be really good. They're going to be solid. I'm with Davey, though. If we can't get to a quarterback, that's going to put more pressure on them. They may look worse this year, even if they're better players. So can somebody on the inside, you know, the front seven, can one or two of those guys become impact makers?
I'm looking to see if Henry Toa Toa is able to come in and make an impact early.
At middle line, I'm more thinking about like rushing the passer and
somebody on the edge.
Yeah, so I think for me it's going to be Darrell Taylor, and I think he's so close. Like you saw it in the Georgia and the Kentucky game last year. Like he can do it. It's just a consistency issue for him. Can there be one other guy? Can it be Batuli? Can it be
Johnson?
Crouch? Can it be Johnson, who's actually gotten a lot better since he got his rear end chewed on the sideline and his mom told him he couldn't transfer? Can one of those guys be, you know, if Darrell Taylor's getting pressure one out of every four pass attempts, can one of those other guys do it one out of every five? Like, can you have two guys who on any given play can get back there and make a mess of a passing situation? I think teams are probably going to be able to run on you a little bit, and that's where Toa Toa, I think, comes in. I think if he's smart, which he is, and picks it up, which I hope he does, and he's physically ready to go, he's a guy who at least is going to be in the right spot.
And if you can shore up the inside of your front seven,
then
it's going
to
help
like,
the
I just
outside
need to be big.
Edge.
I just need it to be big.
Give them more opportunities
to
make impact plays.
And you got to get teams in. You got to be able to stop the run early downs to
sure.
get teams in position where those outside linebackers have a chance to even get to the quarterback.
I'm trying to think. Like, it felt like Felipe Franks escaped a lot last year. We know Will Grier did. Like, Will Grier should have been sacked 20 times, and he just kept running backwards away from our guys and then throwing it deep downfield or taking off running.
Nah, I just had to block out the first four games.
Like, that can't happen again. Like, somebody, like, one of those guys, be it Darrell Taylor and someone else or just someone else in general, like, when we get pressure on a quarterback, it needs to end with a quarterback on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the BYU kid, he's not a, you know, he's not a dual threat guy, but he's not slow. Like, he can move around a little bit. Like, we don't need him escaping and going, you know, Johnny Manziel or Baker Mayfield on us.
Even
I mean, think back to Baker Mayfield. How many times did we have him wrapped up and he just kind of squirts free?
For us, I mean, even if we're not getting sacks, like, at least just get a hit on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Make him know that you're there.
That's the thing. Hits. And make him throw it away, right? Instead of breaking a tackle and keeping his feet, like, get him on the ground.
Be nice.
I'd be a fan.
Be nice. We'll come indeed. Back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. The final segment of 3 and Out today is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. We go to Davey Hudson with your Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day.
Today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day.
It better be a good one, Hudson. I need a good tip today.
If you're looking to lose weight, try adding apple cider vinegar to your diet.
Nate is out on the apple cider vinegar.
Well, you guys are idiots.
So out.
And I told you all, you have to dilute it, not drink it straight. All you need is 1 teaspoon in a cup of water, and it's supposed to help suppress appetite. It also is supposed to kick the metabolism into play.
I don't think he ate for 2 days.
Well, he also burned his throat so because he did not dilute it. So if you're listening and you do this,
probably should.
I said, make sure you dilute it.
That's on me.
We did look it up, and I told you all, and you still didn't listen.
You wanted me to drink like a whole bottle of that stuff.
It was 3 cups, undiluted.
Oh, yeah, 2 bottles. 3 cups, it was 2 bottles. 24 ounces. It was, I think I would have died.
SEC survivor.
If I'd actually gotten down one whole bottle of that stuff, I think my esophagus would have just opened up and, you know, like my stuff would have just started floating in and out of areas inside my core that aren't supposed to be there.
I feel bad for our interns who weren't here for football season. They're like, oh, the show's okay. Man, it was a lot of fun back then, though.
Maybe we should make the interns be our champion for SEC Survivor. We could have an out clause.
You delegate your punishment to the intern?
Yes. We need some new wrinkles for next year, right?
I request start a challenge by combat. survival by combat or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Trial by intern, something like that. I'll work on
Choose
it.
Choose your champion.
Yeah. Who will do the electroshock therapy today? It's Binti! You are my champion,
Binti. Try and get the smart ones. No, yeah. They have to answer the questions. You still take the shocks.
Oh, yeah, I guess that.
I'm
going to hire some really smart interns.
Well, yeah, you better pick someone.
Semester.
That's not right. That's not how it works. That we both wear a shock collar. Like, if Braun had died, like, he and Tyrion were getting thrown through the moon door.
True.
Right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Braun would have died
In the fight. But then he would have got kicked out of his body out of the moon door.
Sure, yeah.
And then so out goes Tyrion also.
It's just help with the trivia, maybe.
Like a phone a friend.
Right.
Yeah.
And then both of you get shocked if you missed it.
Or he does mousetrap fingers and I do shot collar.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. See if we can
A listener tried to tell me the other day that we should do SEC Survivor with non-revenue random sports. And that would make it so much more fun.
It's like baseball. It's like maybe series, like the series baseball. Tennessee beat Georgia 2 out of 3 times, by the way.
Imagine if you're like watching the women's shot put, you're like, got the Arkansas girl, and you're like, come on, Hawk, get it.
Okay. I'm not going to be watching Arkansas shot put.
You know,
sorry.
I'm trying to pick the most random thing.
By the way, I believe I said if they won the series over Georgia, Tennessee would be ranked. They are, in fact, ranked in baseball.
Nice.
25th?
True.
I think they might be 22 in one poll and 25 in another. They don't have another ranked opponent on the schedule as of now. Do you know that? They're ranked after the brutal start to the season they had opponent-wise, and they don't have another ranked team on the schedule.
When's the end of the regular season for them?
You got a little bit.
Like what, like a month and a half, 2 months? And then tournament play starts?
I thought tournament started mid-May.
Is it mid-May? Is it that soon? Like SEC tournament?
I think so. I don't pretend to be a baseball expert, but
I don't either.
I thought it matched up around the time of graduation.
Yeah, it sounds right.
I know they, I mean, make it to the College World Series, you're playing into like June.
Yeah, it's brutal because it's like if you're a senior, you're done with school a long time ago. I guess that makes it kind of fun, though. You don't have to worry about class anymore. Just play baseball. Their next game.
May 18th is the last scheduled game. The SEC tournament starts May 21st.
There you go.
Okay.
Good job, Dave.
Their next game is today at home, 6 p.m. against Morehead State. And then big series on the road at Kentucky this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Tony Vitello, man. I'm kind of impressed. 26-11, 20-6 at home, 2-5 on the road. Neutral sites 4-0. So yeah, this is it's a big opportunity at Kentucky to get off the road scaries and hopefully take a series from the Wildcats. Wow, we might make the SEC tournament this year. That's a big deal.
This isn't UT Sports really needs to change this about their schedule. So Missouri is ranked. They are on the schedule coming up.
Did they just recently get ranked? Because as of a couple days ago, there was not another ranked team on the schedule. So Missouri might have been they might be hot and got ranked.
Yes, they did.
Recently.
They went from not ranked to 21st.
Okay.
So they went way up in the rankings.
Okay.
But see, UTSports.com doesn't put rankings on there.
No. Until after the game?
Until they play them.
Correct.
Because I guess they have to go into update. It's just a convenience thing. They update the schedule when a game happens with the box score, so that's when they input what the ranking of that team was when you played them.
I see.
So, for example, like Georgia will be listed as number two on Tennessee's schedule from now until the end of the year because they were number two when they played. Georgia, after getting beat in the series 2-1 by Tennessee, is now fifth in the top 25.
Makes sense.
Kind of does. It's like ESPN. They leave the ranking up at the time of the game on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little frustrating not to be able to see who's ranked coming up on your schedule.
Right.
Yeah, that part doesn't make sense.
If you use utsports.com. But anyway, baseball teams, they're 26
and 11. Golly, Tennessee Athletics just
getting better.
To the moon!
Optimism Tuesday!
Feeling good.
Talk Sports is next. John Reed, Cody McClure, and Ben Lee. We'll be back tomorrow for Ben T, Davey Hudson, Houston Kress.
Thank you.
I'm Nate Hodges. You'll be listening to 3 and Out. Keep it locked in right here for 13 hours each and every weekday of local sports talk on Fan Run Radio.
And pop culture.